Good Monday afternoon. There is a bit of a chill in the air. I hope you are ready for all the upcoming, oh my goodness, actions that are going on, for lack of a better word. There is so much crap going on in the news every single day. You are listening to Tell Me More with Carol Holloway. We are live here at WWDB on the radio and on the podcast, also on Odyssey. And you can reach out to me on Instagram and Facebook with any questions you have. People, get out and vote. Vote, 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 vote. I can't say it enough. Our democracy is at stake. There are so many lies on the television, the lying ads that you're seeing, the untruths that are coming out of the former president's mouth, just as far as FEMA goes. Oh my goodness, please, people, I beg of you, do your research, do your homework, go to reliable sources, and please vote. Vote for the Constitution, vote for your democracy, vote for your right to speak, vote for your right to make choices over your own body. Vote, vote, vote. Okay, I'm off of that soapbox. Here we go. What's going on on today's show? Well, on our medical minutes towards the end of our show, we are going to have Sean Norian with us. He is the CEO and founder of Empower Pharmacy, talking about why so many people are starting to turn to compounding their own pharmaceuticals for the needs of their medical conditions. It's a very interesting segment, so I'm really excited to talk about that. The other thing that is going on is, as you know, it's open enrollment time for Medicare and the so-called enrollment plans, the Advantage plans that are going on. I've talked about this a couple weeks ago on the show, but I'm going to bring you a little bit more information as to why you really need to pay attention to the enrollment plans and what is going on with them. Because once you sign into an Advantage plan, you can never sign back to regular Medicare. And Medicare Advantage plans are actually private insurance. So you're going to want to listen and know more about that. But with the next upcoming shows that are going on, I am going to spend the next couple weeks during the month of October talking about our online security, about the scams that are going on, about the things that you need to pay attention to. And each week I have an expert coming on to talk about their thoughts about what you can do, how you can do it, what we can do. As we navigate an increasingly digital world, it's becoming more and more digital. We're trying to stay safe online, and it's more important than ever that we recognize that we can be hacked so easily. So joining us today to share critical payment safety tips and advice on how we recognize scams that target us as consumers, and this is, of course, just in time for the holidays, Ben Chance, who is the Chief Fraud Risk Management Officer at Early Warning, is joining us. Ben, in his role, is responsible for managing fraud risk across the Decision Intelligence, Zelle, and Passe networks. So I really want to know more about what we can do. You know, we definitely want to scam-proof the spooky season, because it really is spooky right now. And we're going to share some essential tips for your own online safety when you're dealing with currency and money and transferring things back and forth. So let's bring Ben online right now. I'm really excited to talk with him. And then I'll tell you a little bit more about him when we're done our segment.
And Carol, let's bring him on.
I'm good, Ben. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You know, last year, the FTC reported receiving 2.6 million fraud reports across all payment types. And that brings me to our checking accounts, our debit cards, our credit cards. What's going on?
Yeah, I think unsurprisingly to most consumers, criminals are targeting us. They're targeting us through phone, email, text message, social media, and of course, digital platforms as well in terms of digital marketplaces. So these criminals really know where we live our lives in these different forums, and they target us where we live our lives using increasingly sophisticated tactics to lure us in and believe that we're interacting with someone that we're not actually interacting with. And as you noted in the FTC reports, that's not unique to any one payment channel. So we see these criminals attempting to get your money over cash, over ACH payments, credit cards, debit card, wire, check, gift card, and of course, P2P. And about 95% of all scams reported to the FTC come in traditional, called traditional payment methods, like an ACH or a check or a credit or a debit card. But we do see about 5% of these criminals attempting to use peer-to-peer networks as one way of many to monetize these crimes.
Wow. It's scary because we've talked about this many times on our show, but it seems to be getting worse. And Ben, help me out here. I feel like companies like T-Mobile, AT&T, and other companies that have been hacked, that's where they're getting our information. Are they targeting them or are they targeting us directly?
I think it's both. So there are a number of hacks or data breaches or what you want to call, not just for telecom companies, but for, you know, data providers that might be providing background information, maybe a healthcare provider that has information on you, and in some cases, even government agencies. And the problem is this proliferation of this data is available to criminals on underground networks, and they're really using that to target individuals. And again, using that to get your phone, maybe your phone number, and then assuming you bank with a large financial institution, and then impersonating that large financial institution as an example, or maybe impersonating if they hacked a particular cell phone carrier, impersonating that cell phone carrier and try and convince you that you are late on a payment, as an example, and need to do something to upgrade your plan. And so these are, again, increasingly sophisticated tactics that these criminals are using, again, to try and part hardworking everyday American from their hard-earned money.
So, Ben, as the Chief Fraud Risk Management Officer at Early Warning Services, what are you seeing differently? Because I tell my listeners, do not open an email from your that says, oh, a debit was made of $50. You should have software on your phone to protect that and call the bank directly or when you get an email. What else are you seeing?
So first, Carol, that's sound advice. I mean, I can't... cannot underscore how important that is. These scammers are impersonating, you know, legitimate companies. So your everyday, you know, consumer really cannot trust the name that's being displayed, example, in an email, right? That you've just made a charge of $50 on a network you've never actually participated in. That's a scam. It's a scam all day long. And similar if you got a text message or outbound phone call. And so I think it's really important that consumers are aware that they should not click on these links. They should not believe these emails. And if they do have some sort of concern on their account, the safest course of action is to not answer the phone, not respond to the text, and simply, in the case of a bank or a financial institution, call the number on the back of your debit card. That way you know you're talking with a legitimate, authorized representative of that institution, and you can get to the bottom of whatever's going on. And similarly, if you know the merchant website, a direct number to a merchant website is far safer than receiving an inbound phone call where someone may be simply impersonating that merchant or a government agency or something of that nature. So again, can't really trust what's coming in phone, email, text, digital, and social, but can always stop, pause, take a deep breath, and make that outbound call to a legitimate verified phone number to really understand what's going on, if anything. And in most cases, of course, the consumer didn't make that transaction. There's nothing to worry about. Just delete that email and move on with your day.
So you said some important things here, Ben. Never, ever, ever call a phone number. If they say, let me give you this phone number to call, or there's a phone number attached, or there's one in your email, ignore, go directly to the source.
Absolutely. And the source here, as an example, is the number on the back of your debit card, right? It's in your wallet, it's in your purse, it's readily available to you. No legitimate bank representative or government representative is going to yell at you and pressure you not to hang up the phone. They're going to encourage you to hang up the phone and call that legitimate number. They know that you are acting in your own best interest and ultimately in the best interest of that particular agency, who also doesn't want to have, you know, scams committed against them or be impersonated and have scams committed against one of their consumers. So it's really important. Don't call the number in that email. Don't respond to that text and don't trust that caller ID that's coming in. Verify an independent, legitimate number and use that outbound call as a way to figure out what's going on with your account. Or if you suspect some other suspicious activity, that's the absolutely the best thing that you can do.
So, Ben, here's a couple examples. We had our business card and our personal debit cards or bank cards hacked 3 times within a 2-month period. We literally got a new card. It was hacked. We got a new card. It was hacked. The bank was aware of it, and they set us up with their software and did it with us in person so that we would know any time that card was used now. But how is it that they were able to do something so many times?
It's obviously, I don't know the exact nature, but these criminals are very sophisticated. So as an example, they may have compromised a merchant website where you're entering the card details. Or in some cases, they might even compromise a physical ATM where they're able to skim the card through a card reader. So there are a variety of ways that card may be compromised. But ultimately, what's really important is that you, and as a consumer, are monitoring your accounts vigilantly. And if you suspect an unauthorized payment or you suspect you've been the victim of a scam, contact your financial institution immediately, just like you did, and get that card reissued immediately. And that'll stop that criminal from being able to exploit that account. And it'll also ensure, in the case of fraud, when there was unauthorized activity, that you'll be fully reimbursed for that unauthorized activity.
Okay, now Ben, what about these websites where you go on to, let's just use Facebook as an example, because they're the biggest offenders of anybody, in my opinion. they always have these ads pop up from, buy this clothing or buy this kitchen tool or, whatever. Are those, to me, don't seem to be safe things to click on.
I would say in broad strokes, yes. And what I like to tell my own family, my own friends is, if you wouldn't send cash in the mail to this person, you shouldn't be clicking on this link and trying to pay them electronically. You really don't know that individual. That's not someone you know, and therefore it's not someone that you should trust. And so what I like to say is, like in a local marketplace is a good example, if I'm going to buy, a guitar or a puppy, I want to see that item live, right? It's fine to pay someone you know and trust in a physical world where there's a face-to-face transaction. And you can, obviously, the goods and services you're receiving in that particular scenario. But really, it's buyer beware when clicking through those links. And it's really important for consumers to understand if it's too good to be true, if it feels too good to be true, it is too good to be true. And so just take a moment and pause and say, is this really does this really seem legitimate? Is this really a legitimate website? Again, I just can't underscore, take a deep breath, pause, think about it before clicking through and certainly before entering any sort of payment instructions to that potentially suspicious actor.
Now, Ben, we're getting into the holiday seasons. Is there a seasonality of scams that happen, during the holidays?
There's not necessarily a seasonality. There's certain things that are evergreen. You think about puppy scams, ticket scams, romance scams, investment scams. These things happen throughout the year. I will say, as we get into the holiday season, beware of too good to be too true advertisements, just like you mentioned in the one digital marketplace, where that must-have toy of the season is suddenly available half off through this particular website or this particular posting. It's just simply not true, and consumers need to be aware of that. And unfortunately, the other thing that we see this time of year with respect to hurricane season is criminals pretending to be government agencies or insurance companies or home repair contractors that really follow natural disasters. So we'll absolutely see a spike in those types of scams being attempted against consumers. And again, if you have been the victim of one of those natural disasters, be very wary because these criminals will target you directly and offer, a free roof repair service as an example, or a discounted roof repair service if you just pay them X number of dollars up front. Obviously, these are horrible individuals, horrible criminals that are preying on these individuals. And these consumers need to be very aware and pause and not make that payment, unless they know and trust that person.
Right. I am with you there. We're going to continue to talk about that on the show. Now, a lot of people use pay apps like, Venmo and Zelle. And there's another one that I'm not even familiar with, Paz?
There's several. There can be other there, as many as you can think of. There are different ones out there, but the primary ones, you know, certainly Zelle is a household name, and others that you mentioned as well, the primary ways consumers use to pay people they know and trust.
So what initiatives are companies like that taking to prevent and stop the scams?
We've got at Zelle, we have a multi-layered, sophisticated set of tools that really stop are designed to prevent, detect, and recover consumers when they've been the victim of scams. And that spans everything from broad-based consumer education and the sort of media outlets and outreach, just like I'm doing here today, but also includes things like in-app alerts and sophisticated fraud tools where we monitor millions of transactions in real time on a daily basis. And so we put all that together to really try and stop fraud and scams. We have been very successful, I think, in that, particularly over the last couple of years. So as the rate of volume on our network continues to grow at nearly 30% year over year, we saw a nearly 50% reduction in the rate of fraud and scams over that same period. So we're really proud of the work that we do in this space. We need to do more, and we need to do more as a society with respect to consumer education and stopping this front-end barrage of criminals being able to attack us in all these channels, you know, phone, email, text, and the list goes on. And so really, as a country, that's where we need to go. And we're part of leading that charge through several initiatives that we do here at Early Warning as the network operator of Zelle.
So what is the government doing? You know, we know this is going on. People are getting scammed out of thousands of dollars. Some people, that's all they really have. Is the government stepping in? Are they paying attention to this? Are they looking at it, Ben?
I would certainly say the government is paying attention to this. It's a national discussion that we're having around this. And we feel very strongly that there is a role for the government in this space. There's also a role for the private sector. And if we think about better authentication controls on things like caller ID and emails and identity controls and social media platforms, that has to happen. And at the same time, we have to continue to evolve our tools that we have within the banking ecosystem to detect these types of criminal activities. And last but not least, we have to really make sure that there's adequate funding for law enforcement to prosecute these criminals both domestically and internationally. And we think all three of those pieces need to come together with support from the government and really to address this problem.
Wow. It's not happening fast enough. Ben, I want to talk to you more. We're spending the whole day talking about hacking and computers and cybersecurity and all of that today. And we're going to continue to talk about some of the things that you just brought up. But first, our listeners that would like to get more information about Early Warning services or any of the information that you've talked about, where can we go for more?
Our website, zellepay.com, has a wealth of information on how to protect yourself from being the victim of a scam and common scam tactics. And I would also say that our website has information if you've been the victim of a scam, how to report that not only to your financial institution, but also to the Federal Trade Commission. So zellepay.com is where I would recommend your listeners go.
Important information, the fact that you have the tools right there on the website. And you don't have to be a member of Zelle to be able to access that information.
That's correct. That's freely available to any member of the public, whether you're enrolled in Zelle or not. And because what we really want to do is stop fraud and scams across all payment channels. And that's really part of the national dialogue that we are proud to be part of and want to continue to advance.
Ben, I would love for you to come back at any time, especially if we see any government policies change. It's been wonderful talking to you today. Ben Chance, listeners, talking to us about fraud, scams, everything that's happening to our bank accounts and our credit cards. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
So I was originally going to dedicate the whole show today to this topic of scams and fraud and hacking your computers, your cell phones, everything else. But I decided to break it down into a couple weekly segments because it could be very repetitive. So this is so prevalent in what's happening today, but I really do want to spread it out. A little bit more about Ben, though. He was the global head of fraud at Barclays. And if any of you have a credit card, it might be connected with Barclays Bank, managing fraud strategy, analytics, technology, and operations. And prior to that, he had various positions at Goldman Sachs and Capital One. So the man does know what he's talking about. Let me take a quick commercial break and we'll be back. I'll tell you who's going to be on next week to talk on this topic. You are listening to Tell Me More with Carol Holloway. We'll be right back.
Hey, Philadelphia homeowners. To build for looks and durability, side your home with LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding, now available in brushed smooth texture. Available in 16 versatile colors, LP SmartSide Expert Finish products will help you create a gorgeous, longer-lasting dream home. That's the beauty of brushed smooth. Learn more about LP SmartSide Expert Finish products in brushed smooth texture at lpcorp.com/Philly Siding. That's lpcorp.com/Philly Siding.
Hello, this is Erin, and I have a very important message. If you or a loved one is suffering with any sort of crisis, there is no need to do it alone. Dial the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline, where trained professionals will handle your case and get you the help you need any day, anytime. All reports are fully confidential. Dial 988, and a responder will do everything they can to assist you. Remember, if you see something, say something. You may just be saving someone's life. Remember, 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Hotline.
Hi, this is Carol Holloway from Home Improvement Fix and Facts. Listen to me live every Tuesday morning from 8 to 9 right here at WWDB. And if you can't listen live, make sure you go to WWDBAM.com and listen to my podcast. Each week, we will give you great ideas on how to fix your home and some facts on how to put it all together. In the middle of our streets, our house.
It is not a dream. Somebody is watching you. They are watching everything you do. You know, how many times have you talked in your house, if you have an Alexa or even a smart TV, about something, and the next thing you know, you're getting ads for it, or you're getting pop-up ads on your iPhone or your Android or whatever. So yeah, I got that feeling somebody's watching me. So we're going to continue with this series over the next 2 weeks. Next week, Brent Hansen will be joining us of Jewelers Mutual, a leading insurer dedicated to protecting jewelry and the jewelry business. Why is he coming on? Because he understands cyber threats, and he's going to be talking to us about some things that we can do to ensure our antivirus software and firewalls are current and active. And he's also going to be telling us a little bit about cyber insurance coverage. So that'll be coming up next week. Really excited to bring him on board and talk about that. Now, let me get to the next topic at hand. You're starting to see all the commercials on TV right now for the open enrollment period that runs from October 15th to December 7th. It already started. It starts tomorrow. And it's really important that we as consumers understand what to do to get the right plan. Now, I want to make very sure that people understand that a medical advantage plan is actually private insurance. So your Part B covers outpatient services such as doctor visits and things like that. But Advantage plans will cover other things like prescription drugs and supplemental benefits such as dental and vision. And they make it sound really, really good. But let's talk to our guest first. And then I'm going to tell you, in my opinion, why I am not real keen on Medicare Advantage plans. But joining us now is Betsy Chen. She is the Chief Consumer Officer of Medicare Advantage United Healthcare. So I wanted to have her on. I wanted her to speak her piece on why she thinks this is the best way to go. It's important that we get to know our Medicare policies, if we're just going to start Medicare or if we're already in it. This is the one time of year that you can actually change your plan. So with Betsy coming on board, like I said, she's the Chief Consumer Officer at United Healthcare's Medicare and Retirement Division. And in her role there, she leads product strategy and experiences for more than 10 million UnitedHealthcare Medical Advantage and Part D prescription drug plan members. So she knows a lot about what's going on. Let's see if I can play a little bit of devil's advocate with her. And let's bring her on board right now.
Hi, Betsy. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good, thank you. It's that time of year again where we have to look at annual enrollment in Medicare. And why is this important, and why would we even want to consider changing what we have?
Well, it's really important because plans can change every year. So the Medicare annual enrollment enrollment period runs from October 15th through December 7th. And it's the one time each year that people who are on Medicare are able to make a choice about their coverage for the following year. And every year plans can change. The costs might change. The doctors who are in the network might change. Benefits can change. The covered drugs might change. So it's very important that people on Medicare take advantage of this time period every year to review their coverage, see what's changing on their plan for next year, and consider if it's still going to work for them or if they'd like to make a switch into a different plan.
Okay. So, and there's no penalty for doing this, because I do notice that every year the cost of Medicare goes up. It might only be $5, it might be $10, but so does the supplemental insurance. So people really need to look at their plans and see how much it's increased. Am I right about that?
That's right. Yes, there's no penalty to change plans during the annual enrollment period if you're on a Medicare Advantage plan or a Part D plan. Costs can change year over year. Sometimes they go up, sometimes they go down, but the costs can change. And it's important to look not only at the premiums on a plan, but also things like deductibles, co-insurance, co-pays. All of these are important factors that will end up affecting the total cost of your health care in the next year. So it's important to consider each one of those as you look at your coverage for the following year.
So let's talk about the different types of Medicare. Can you explain the difference between your supplemental insurance, your Advantage plan, your Part D? What are they for people that might be at that point or looking to change?
Absolutely. So there's four main parts of Medicare, Part A, B, C, and D. Parts A and B are known as Original Medicare, and they come directly from the federal government. Part A provides coverage for inpatient care in hospitals, and Part B provides coverage for outpatient care or doctor visits. Part C is also known as Medicare Advantage. And that comes from private insurance companies who work closely with the federal government to offer these plans. Part C plans, or Medicare Advantage plans, combine Parts A and B, hospital and doctor, into a single plan, and it also often includes Part D, which is prescription drug coverage, and additional benefits like dental, vision, or hearing coverage, maybe a fitness membership, even transportation rides, things like that. So Medicare Advantage plans are the all-in-one option for hospital, doctor, prescriptions, and more. Then you can also get a Part D standalone plan, which is just your prescription drugs. Those come directly from private insurers as well, working closely with the federal government. And then you mentioned Medicare Supplement. That's yet one more type of Medicare plan. These plans cover much of what Medicare Parts A and B don't pay for. So think about it as first dollar coverage. You might have a premium each month, but then when you go to get your care, typically the bill is paid for by your Medicare supplement plan. These are things like the co-insurance, co-payments, and deductibles. So as you can see, lots of options with Medicare. It's really important to consider what's right for you.
So, Betsy, I want to make it clear to our listeners, Medicare is something that when you have a job, you pay into all of your life. It's money that we have taken out of our pocket and our employers have added to and put into, let's say, the government bank so that we can have this. Yep. It's not a handout. Am I right?
That's right. Yes, absolutely. You contribute to it during your working years. And then when you become eligible, which for most people is typically around their 65th birthday, then you have a choice to make in how you want to tap into that coverage, whether it's directly through Original Medicare from the government or through a private plan like Medicare Advantage or Medicare Supplement.
Okay. Now, Medicare Advantage, I heard you say the word private insurance. Can you explain to me why it's Medicare Advantage is considered private insurance? It's my understanding that Medicare, if you go to an Advantage plan, Medicare gives the Advantage plan company, like United Healthcare, a stipend to be able to cover Parts A and B. Am I right about that?
Yeah, that's essentially right. But your coverage does work through a company like United Healthcare or one of our competitors. And so it's important to look at what comes with that coverage, which in a lot of cases is those extra benefits I talked about. dental, vision, hearing, a fitness network, et cetera. But you also need to monitor the plan's network. So your Medicare Advantage plan might allow you to see certain doctors in your area, but not provide as much coverage for other doctors. You also need to take a look at things like the plan's formulary or the approved drug list. So it is, you're right that it's a sort of a partnership between the federal government and insurance companies like UnitedHealthcare. And it's just important to make sure that people who choose these plans understand if there's a network and what kind of payment might be involved in terms of either co-pays or co-insurance as they go about getting care throughout the year.
So if you're in a Medicare Advantage plan, are you allowed to, I've heard that because it's privatized insurance and the government sends your money to, say, UnitedHealthcare, you can never change out of it.
No, that's not true. Okay. You always have a choice. You always have a choice. And particularly during the annual enrollment period, which is coming up here in just about a month, that is the best time for people to consider their choice each year because there's no penalty for choosing a different Medicare Advantage plan.
So if you're in a Medicare Advantage plan and you choose to change your plan between October 15th and December 7th, you can only change into a different Advantage plan. You can't go back to the regular Medicare with the supplemental insurance.
You could. Yep. You could go back to the original Medicare. You could pick up just a Part D standalone plan.
Oh.
Yep. So you can, it's your one chance each year to take a look at what coverage is right for you and to make a switch.
Okay, great. Now, very important, industry changes to Medicare Part D. Because of the Inflation Reduction Act, we have seen lower prices for medications. How will this impact people on Medicare, and what other drugs are we fighting against to get lowered? Because I know insulin has been a big one.
Yeah, that's one that we're hearing a lot about. I think there's really two important things for people to know about the cost of prescription drugs as a result of the Inflation Reduction Act, and both are good. First, the Inflation Reduction Act removed the coverage gap, which was often called the Medicare donut hole, which means that, so there's no longer that donut hole in the middle of your coverage, which means that if you move past your out-of-pocket maximum, you go right into the catastrophic coverage phase, which means that the insurance, your insurance plan will pick up the cost of your prescriptions. The other big change is that the out-of-pocket maximum was lowered significantly from $8,000 this year to just $2,000 next year. So that means that once a member and others on their behalf, such as their insurance company, pays $2,000, then you're done with your out-of-pocket maximum for the year. So both of those things, the removal of the coverage gap and lowering that out-of-pocket maximum, are a good result of the Inflation Reduction Act.
So this is a good thing. The Inflation Reduction Act has actually helped people with their Medicare and their insurances as opposed to making it harder for them. Yes?
Yes. That's right. That's good. Right. There is certainly a bright side for consumers in this. I would just make sure, again, things can change on your plan annually. So make sure to still check that other costs might have increased. The formulary may have changed. The network may have changed. So certainly a good year to do your homework on what's changing year over year.
Wonderful. This is great news. We're going to continue to discuss this. Betsy, thank you for informing us. Where can our listeners go for more information?
The best place to go is MedicareEducation.com.
MedicareEducation.com. Thank you so much for bringing enlightenment to this and letting our listeners know what they can and can't do right now.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So that was pretty informative. I was not aware that you could switch out of a Medicare Advantage plan during this time and back to regular Medicare. People, please do your homework. Please read up. Please make sure you know what's going on with your Medicare before you make any changes and ask an expert. And one of the reasons why people like the or brokers like the Medicare Advantage plans is because they make more money when they sell you one. Just want to put that out there. Okay, let me take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back with our medical minutes. You're listening to Tell Me More with Carol Holloway.
Hi, this is Carol Holloway from Home Improvement Fix and Facts. Listen to me live every Tuesday morning from 8 to 9 right here at WWDB. And if you can't listen live, make sure you go to WWDBAM.com and listen to my podcast. Each week, we will give you great ideas on how to fix your home and some facts on how to put it all together. In the middle of our streets,
our house. Hey, Philadelphia homeowners. To build for looks and durability, side your home with LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding, now available in brushed smooth texture. Available in 16 versatile colors, LP SmartSide Expert Finish products will help you create a gorgeous, longer-lasting dream home. That's the beauty of brushed smooth. Learn more about LP SmartSide Expert Finish products in brushed smooth texture at lpcorp.com/philly siding. That's lpcorp.com/philly siding.
All right, we are back. We are back with Medical Minutes. It is so important that we understand that we have choices when it comes to the drugs that we take. I want to jump right into this segment right now, understanding compounding formulas and pharmacies with Sean Norian, CEO and founder of Empower Pharmacy. I'm going to jump right into it because I'm limited on time. Here we go. Good afternoon. How are you today?
Doing great. Thanks. Appreciate
it. Great. I'm happy to have you here to help our listeners understand some of the benefits and facts and misconceptions about compounding pharmacies. We all know what traditional pharmacies are, but what is a compounding pharmacy?
So a compounding pharmacy, such as Empower, is a specialized pharmaceutical facility that goes beyond the conventional approach to making medication. At its core, compounding involves the art and science of creating personalized medications to meet the unique needs of individual patients under the care of a healthcare provider. And compounding was the genesis for our entire modern pharmaceutical market. Since the beginning of time, all medications have been compounded. And it wasn't until the early 20th century that the industrialization of pharmaceutical manufacturing occurred and that we evolved into what we have today, where only about 2% of medications compounded today are part of our current supply chain, whereas the other 98% are typical commercial drugs that you would see from a regular retail pharmacy like Walgreens or CVS. Of course, now, compounding pharmacy, the space is growing as more and more patients and healthcare providers grasp the benefits that compounded medicines provide.
You know, Sean, it sounds to me like compounding medications is more of an Eastern philosophy as opposed to a Western philosophy, kind of zeroing in on what it is that you really need as opposed to one shoot fits all. Is that a good analogy?
You know, it's kind of like thinking about personalizing a medication specifically for that that individual patient. So unlike commercial FDA-approved medicines that you see advertised on TV, compounding medications tailor the ingredients to fit individual needs, which are particularly important for those with unique health challenges. For example, when a doctor isn't sure that a medication would be right for a patient, as if the patient would have an allergy to a component in the commercial medication, or when a drug only comes as an injection and the patient prefers a dosage route like a transdermal cream because that patient's needle phobic, or when a medication is no longer profitable for a large pharmaceutical manufacturer and becomes orphaned, but many patients are still dependent on it. Compounding pharmacies can also make compounds that are copies of commercial medications when that medication is on shortage to quickly add additional supply to the pharmaceutical supply chain. And all of these are examples of when a compounding pharmacy is right for that patient. So it's kind of like bringing back the art of making drugs for like you would see at a local apothecary or druggist a couple hundred years ago, but using advanced technology today to ensure that we make the highest quality products that meet all pharmaceutical standards.
Do these compounding drugs that we're putting together for people to help them require a prescription?
Yes, all our medications require a prescription from a licensed prescriber. And healthcare providers interested in a compounding pharmacy services can visit that compounding pharmacy's website. Patients, they must have a prescription. So we provide a seamless process to create and deliver these compounded medications to our patients.
So Sean, the insurance companies seem to be the ones that make healthcare decisions for people instead of doctors, in my opinion. And they tend to deny drugs that people need or won't approve certain drugs that we know are good for them, making you go a different avenue. Will they approve compounded prescriptions?
In some cases, yes. With most of the compounded medications that we provide, many of them are actually lower than the cost of a patient's copay. So when we see prescriptions being sent to compounding pharmacies, patients can be assured that they can not only afford them today, but continue to afford them in the future. As compounding pharmacies, our prices typically decrease over time, whereas the traditional pharmaceutical market, the average price of a drug increases by 11% a year. And this way, providers can ensure that their patients can be compliant with their therapies for decades to come.
Are all doctors qualified to make these recommended compounding medications?
All doctors can prescribe compounded medications. Now, if they are qualified, depends on their level of expertise when it comes to utilizing individualized dosage forms. So, of course, doctors, many of them are not trained in medical school on the art and science of compounding, but many come to understand as they start practicing or they learn from their colleagues how to utilize custom dosage forms where patients and providers are utilizing custom dosage forms, combining multiple active ingredients, or changing a medication so that it better meets the needs of a patient or patient population that they're serving, which is typically how we see the word spread on how these compounds are used and how they may be more appropriate for certain patients.
So, Sean, there are certain drugs that are not approved or a lot of people, specifically on Medicare or Medicaid, have a hard time getting approved, like hormone replacements and weight management drugs and things like that. Does compounding make it easier to get them approved, or do we still run into the same brick walls that we run into on a regular basis?
Well, all the medications that we provide through our compounding pharmacy are cash only, and it's estimated about 80% of the compounding industry medications are filled through cash instead of insurance.
Oh.
And we see this as a benefit, as the cash price is typically, in many cases, lower than a patient would be paying via their copay. But in most cases, hormone replacement therapy, because it has to be individualized and customized for the patient to receive optimal outcomes for that therapy, we see the majority of hormone replacement prescriptions being sourced from a compounding pharmacy.
So what types of illnesses or drugs, or I'm not quite sure that I know how to verbalize the question that I'm asking. What types of things are you seeing that require a compounding? Like somebody with MS, would they go to a compounding pharmacy or talk to their doctor to have something more specific for them?
It's a great question.
Okay, thank you.
There are compounds for every single area of treatment out there. The area of treatments that we specialize in are primarily under functional medicine. And if you ask what functional medicine is, it consists of all the different types of medicine that help solve a patient's root cause and at their heart, make sure that the patient is treated holistically. So, for example, we manufacture drugs for men's health, women's health, hormone replacement, longevity medicine, sexual wellness, dermatology, IV nutrition, and weight management. And by addressing all of these areas of treatment, we can really optimize a patient to become the best version of themselves and live the best version of themselves that they can live, since these are the primary areas where health and wellness is concerned.
So say I am not feeling my best self and I'm talking to my primary care doctor saying, what you're giving me here, let's just use skin for an example, dermatology. I have a rash and I'm like, this isn't quite working. And the dermatologist is like, well, try this prescription, and nothing is working. And they're not listening to me. Do I have the option to get in touch with Empower Pharmacy directly to find out, can you recommend a doctor who will listen and maybe help prescribe something that would be a compounded medicine that would work? Because not all doctors listen to their patients.
That's right. We serve about over 35,000 different prescribers throughout the country. While we know of them, we can't really make recommendations on which one is the most appropriate one to use. And this is where it's important for a patient to be able to do research online. There are websites out there that have databases where you can find a functional medicine practitioner or a dermatologist or any specialist. That and it's important for the patient then to ask questions for that prescriber to understand if they understand how to utilize personalized therapies for them, or if they're just prescribing them the same medication that they prescribe that every other doctor in the country is prescribing because they weren't educated on how to individualize treatments. So it is a little bit of work that patients will have to do, but there are websites like the Institute for Functional Medicine that have databases where patients can go in and find a prescriber in their area.
Okay. You mentioned the word holistic in the last question, and that's one of my favorite words when it comes to medicine and doctors, and I love a holistic approach. So when a doctor sends a prescription to Empower Pharmacy, do you have people on your end that analyze it and look at it and go, no, this isn't going to work, or this works, or do you just take the word of the doctor that this is the right thing to do?
That's a great question. You know, compounding pharmacies work with doctors to determine the best treatments for their patients and whether a certain formulation is viable or not. And so we actually work with our prescribers to formulate and do our R&D to create these new medications. And so it's a partnership that we have where they're coming to us with ideas, and then we are working with them to make sure that those formulas are stable and efficacious.
Good word. Sean, how do you know on your end, or is it really up to the patient and the doctor to know that when they switch from something that is, you know, you see all the commercials for the drug commercials and everything, and it's not working, and then they go to a formulated, a compounded pharmacy prescription. How do we know that that's working for us? Will we see the improvement? Is it a similar timeline, like, oh, you have to take it for 8 weeks before you see any improvement? Could you expand on that a little bit more?
Every single patient is unique, and we think that their medications should be unique as well. We typically see when doctors are prescribing compound medication, it's because they believe that that compound will have a clinically significant difference than compared to if they were to prescribe a commercial medication. So while it can't be said specifically for each drug, whether it will be more efficacious or not, it's really up to the doctor to make that determination based on their experience. And if they think that a patient can benefit from customizing that medication, then they can work with a compounding pharmacy and over a period of time, determine whether to increase the dosage strength, change the dosage form, combine different medications together to make sure the patient is getting the best outcome and benefit for their therapies.
Okay. And where are these? Is this more like a mail order type of pharmacy, or do you have locations throughout the United States or the world? How does this exactly work? You know, I talk to my doctor, we come up with a solution, he reaches out to you and to Empower and says, you know, I think this is going to work for Carol. Is this a mail order thing that I receive on a monthly basis? How exactly does the technology of getting a compounded prescription work after the doctor has recommended?
Now, we believe in the future of innovating within the pharmaceutical supply chain. So what we've done, instead of having 9,000 pharmacies across the country like CVS does, we have one massive pharmacy here in Houston that's licensed to ship to all 50 states and just happens to be the largest, most advanced compounding pharmacy in the country. And so doctors, what they do is they'll send us prescriptions. And then from this large facility, kind of like, think of it like a massive Amazon distribution facility, we will both compound and then dispense the medication to the patient directly wherever they are in the United States.
Okay. Sean, now, does the government oversee your company, your operations? Because they like to put their hands in everything. And I would think when it comes to pharmacies and drugs and things like that, they want to keep an eye on you. Do you work with them to make sure that you're following procedure?
Oh, absolutely. Compounding pharmacies are regulated by each individual state board of pharmacy, as well as the FDA. And we have to meet what's known as the United States Pharmacopeia Standards, which are the publicly recognized standard for all pharmaceuticals compounded in this country. So, you know, compounded medications are safe when prepared by a licensed and reputable compounding pharmacy like Empower.
Okay. Now, one of the big drugs that's going on right now for people with weight loss is semaglutide, which is through the roof for a prescription for people that are trying to lose weight and attempting to get their health under control. And it seems like a lot of pharmacies won't approve it for people unless they're in the range of diabetes, which to me is like we should be a country of keeping people well instead of waiting till they get sick. So how does your company work with something like that when we can't even get it from our regular physician or even afford it?
Compounding pharmacies are a great example of what when we can add additional capacity to the U.S. pharmaceutical supply chain during times of shortage, like what we're experiencing right now with GLP-1s, such as semaglutide and tirzepatide. And so we at the FDA actually gives compounding pharmacies the ability to make these medications during times of shortage. And because we don't have all the middlemen that the traditional pharmaceutical supply chain has, including pharmacy benefit managers, insurance carriers, wholesalers, you know, we are a direct conduit directly to the patient. And by cutting out all these middlemen, our costs are much less. So for example, a month's supply of semaglutide, the commercial product made by Novo Nordisk, typically cost a patient $1,000 a month. Mm-hmm. Whereas if they were to get that medication through a compounding pharmacy, it's approximately less than $200 a month. So there are huge cost savings, as well as being able to provide patients with access where they can't get it through traditional means.
What about a compound pharmacy put something together for you if you have adverse reactions or side effects?
Absolutely. If a patient may be sensitive to a dye or a binder or filler in a commercial medication, then the prescriber can work with a compounding pharmacy to make sure that we can create a new formulation that does not include those active or inactive ingredients that the patient may be sensitive or allergic to.
Wow. So that's really good. You can really customize for people that do have side effects or reactions to certain drugs. That's big, because the list of what drugs do for people, you know, they're supposed to help you, but then you have all these warning signs. And I'm like, wait a minute. That's good to know that you can really customize to make sure that certain ingredients and certain things that cause a reaction to people can be removed from a prescription. Do I have that right? Am I saying that's that correctly?
That's right. That's exactly what compounding pharmacists are here for. We're here to make the patient get exactly what the doctor ordered.
Are there any other misconceptions about compounding pharmacies? Because honestly, I never heard about it before until this interview was presented to me.
You know, the most common myths that we see are that compounding pharmacies are not regulated, which is furthest from the truth. You know, we are regulated by the FDA, DEA, each individual state board of pharmacy, and the United States Pharmacopeia. You know, another myth is that compounded medications are unsafe. The reality is that when prepared by a licensed and reputable compounding pharmacy, compounded medications are safe and effective. And as we have to adhere to strict quality control and use pharmaceutical grade ingredients to meet the specific needs of patients. And then, of course, the final myth, I think, is that compounding is outdated. Whereas the reality is actually, while the practice of compounding dates back centuries, modern compounding pharmacies use advanced techniques and state-of-the-art technology to create custom solutions that meet today's standards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds to me, even though, like you said, it's been around for a long time, it seems to me that in today's times, it would be the more preferred method of receiving medication that you need for your health. Where can our listeners go if they want to know more information about compounding pharmacies and medications and how they work?
Well, we have a lot of resources on our website, so they can go visit us at empowerpharmacy.com. And they can find a knowledge center as well as a list of all the different medications that we produce.
Wow, great information. I've been on your website. That's why I was asking so many questions. But I really appreciate your help. And you did say that insurance companies will cover. Oh, no, you said it's cash. That's
primarily
right.
So cash.
It doesn't go through our insurance companies at all.
Right. It's a new way of reimagining the pharmaceutical supply chain. And we see many other companies like Mark Cuban's Cost Plus Drugs that are only accepting cash, and many other pharmacies that are doing the same and realizing that just like with GoodRx, you can pay less with cash than if you were using your insurance.
Well, that brings to mind another question. You know, for just say me, the consumer, we were talking about weight loss drugs that are $1,000 a month. Why is it that you can do it so much cheaper? Is it because, or less expensive? Is it because you buy in bulk, or you're cutting through the red tape of what insurance companies do when trying to get a prescription?
Primarily for a couple of reasons. One is that we don't have all the middlemen that are tacking on additional cost in the traditional pharmaceutical supply chain, such as insurance carriers, pharmacy benefit managers, wholesalers, and the like. And also, the cost of producing these drugs is estimated to be about $5, according to a recent study. And we can attest that that number is correct. And so there's no reason to charge $1,000. You know, we can charge $100 or more, or still have enough profit at the end of the day to continue to invest into technology, facilities, and innovation. So it's by utilizing compounding pharmacies, you know, it's a much more, in my opinion, a much more efficient way of getting drugs to patients at a fraction of the cost while potentially creating better outcomes.
Wow. This is excellent information for our listeners to actually research and find out how they can make their pharmaceutical costs more affordable. And that website, one more time, Sean?
It's empowerpharmacy.com.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate the time. We're going to continue to talk on this. Thank you.
Pleasure was all mine. Thank you, Carol.
This is all such excellent information. If you've missed any part of today's show, please go back and listen to the podcast later today. A lot of information here. I need to wrap it up. My show took really long. My words of wisdom: all liars lie to protect themselves, to shield their egos from the raw pain of truth. Amanita Forna said that, and I believe that. So pay attention to what's going on in the news. Pay it forward. Do something nice for somebody. Thank you for listening to Tell Me More with Carol Holloway. See you tomorrow morning on Home Improvement, Fix and Facts at 8 a.m.